Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is today's gospel for this Palm Sunday, where it says, "So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, 'Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel.'" His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing." So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, so this trip to California and back takes about 17 hours. I've done it 40 times now. You'd think I'd know my way. And the first 15, as we're driving down there, are pretty uneventful and boring. It's just the I-5 the entire time. And the 15 hours coming back, the last 15 hours, again, pretty boring. So it's 2 hours when you first get to L.A. and the 2 hours that you're leaving L.A. that are a little exciting. Because you got to change a bunch of different highways. You know, if you go the 5, you got to get on the 210. That is almost life-threatening every time. I'm worried about that every day. Then you get on the 210, you go to the 57, you go down to the 22, and you take that to Tustin Avenue, and boom, I'm there. The problem is, it's not like Minnesota, okay? In Minnesota, they'd give you a warning when a highway would change, and they would tell you what lane to get in. I mean, 5 miles before you get to this area, it would say, the right two lanes go on to 394. And 4 miles, it would say, you really need to get in those two lanes if you want the 394. The next sign would say, what would your mother think if you didn't get in those two lanes to get in 394? I mean, it's like that. In California, they tell you that the road's coming up. They tell you how far it is, but they don't tell you what lane to get in until there's one sign that says now, okay? Now, it wasn't a problem coming down there because we just happened to hit that wonderful Saturday traffic. So what usually takes 2 hours took 3.5 hours stop and go the entire way. So it's not dangerous. That's the good part. Coming back, of course, we leave at 5 in the morning, which my wife and son were overjoyed with. 5 in the morning, it's dark. Now, there is one thing they have done. They have painted the number of the freeway that you're going onto on the road. But when millions of cars drive over it, you have to repaint once in a while. And when you're driving at night, you can't see it at all. And so all of a sudden, I'd say probably 20 minutes into our trip, I start seeing exit signs I've never seen before. I'm like, what are these? All of a sudden, I see that I'm entering Chino, and I'm heading to Riverside. I was on a road to nowhere. And if you've ever been to Chino or Riverside, no offense if you're from there, but that's pretty much nowhere. I was going east. I wanted to go west and north. It took me 20 minutes to get back. I was driving like 95 miles an hour. Still the slowest car out there, but I was, you know. And I finally made it back, but it's incredibly frustrating to be lost like that, to be on the road to nowhere. Well, I got to thinking about that with this text, because every single person who came out to see Jesus on Palm Sunday, they're all first century Jews, and they all have the same goal, and that goal is to find the path to God, to find the way to God. And it really got me to thinking when I read in this text what the Pharisees say at the end, because in another translation, this one it says, we're gaining nothing. Another translation says, we are getting nowhere. Now, of course, what the Pharisees meant by that is for close to 3 years, they had been going out to Jesus trying to undermine his ministry and to stifle anything good that he wanted to do. And the road to nowhere for them was they didn't succeed. But, of course, they really were truly on the road to nowhere. Now, you look at, there's really three groups of people that meet Jesus that day with expectations. The first group, of course, is the group I mentioned, the Pharisees. Pharisees are not going to Jesus to find out their way to God. They've already got it all figured out. It's obedience to the law, and it's their understanding of the law that you need to be obedient. So they're going out to Jesus not to learn anything from him. They're going out to criticize him, to criticize the people that he hangs out with and how he hangs out with them and why he does and when he does. They go out there to even criticize his healing, that he heals, how he heals, when he heals, even eating. They criticize what he eats, why he eats, how he eats, when he eats. They criticize him in all these ways. So they're not going to Jesus to see a path to God. And the sad irony in that is they were actually facing God when they were facing Jesus. The next group we heard about in the first part of the text, that's the group waving the palm branches. And you can kind of glean what they're looking for, what they see as the path to God, and maybe Jesus being the way to that, in what they do and what they say. First of all, they're crying out, Hosanna. And in Hebrew, that's an imperative, which means God save me now. And they're waving palm branches, and the palm branches for the Jews back then were the equivalent of the American flag for us on July 4th. And then they make it really specific and say, you're the son of David. Okay? You're the king of Israel. So these people were looking and thinking that the path to God was political freedom. Okay, the Messiah would come, set them free from their oppressor. In this case, it happens to be the Romans. And then they would live free in the nation of Israel again. And they're close, but they're not quite there with the pathway to God. The second group has said they came to see Jesus because they either witnessed Lazarus rising from the dead or they heard about that miracle. And so they come to Jesus because he's a life giver. And the path to God is life, resurrection, eternal life. That's the pathway to God. Again, they're close, but not quite there. We can all make that mistake. We can say, well, what is the path to God? And is it Bible study? Is it devotions? Is it prayer? Is it doing good works? Is it giving to the church? Are these pathways to God? Well, they're all good, but they're not the path to God. I was thinking about this, and I all of a sudden I remembered something that happened to me 48 years ago. So I was 12, and I was at camp, and it was a different kind of camp. It wasn't the usual summer camp, you know, where you stay a week and go home. This one was 2 weeks long, and it was all focused on canoeing. And so it was canoe camp. So we're going to learn how to canoe, and we learned all these techniques on canoeing. And then at the end of it, we were going to go on a big expedition on some river or lake or something like that and really get the full experience. Well, it was a lot of fun. I got three of my friends to come so we could each, you know, two in each canoe and have a fun time. We did. And about a week and a half in, the head counselor took us all out in our canoes and we went across the lake. This was Camp Omega in Minnesota. And so we were familiar with the forest all around the camp. We knew every single trail there. But here, this is a part of the forest we had never been in before. And so we just started walking into the forest. And the entire time we walked into the forest, the counselor never stopped talking. He's talking about the land. He was talking about the history of the land. He was talking about the Native Americans that were in this land. He was talking about the animals we might see. He was talking about the trees. He was talking about all these things. Just never stopped talking. And we went into this forest about 25 minutes, and in some places I couldn't even see a path that he was following, but we just went in there. Then we came to a clearing, and we all sat down and pulled out our peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and Fritos and had a nice lunch. And then he told us to clean up and pack up, and when we were all ready, we just stood there, and he just stood there. And then he says, how do we get back? And we're all like, I don't know. I had no idea. Which, of course, is the reason why he was rambling on. He was distracting us for 25 minutes, so none of us paid attention to where we were going. He wanted us to get lost. And so he goes, how do you get back? How are we getting back? Why? Do you know the way back? And so one person says over there. He goes, nope. Another person says over there, nope. And finally, it's getting dark. We're getting a little worried. And then finally, he just pointed at himself. He says, I'm your way back. And so we followed him to the canoes, got in the canoes, followed him to the camp, and then we went into a room and had a devotion. And, I mean, this guy was ahead of his time. He was like 18 years old. I just thought he was the usual hippie, you know, camp counselor back then in the 70s. But no, this guy was way ahead of his time because he sat us down, and the devotion was on John chapter 14. Jesus said these words about 5 days after Palm Sunday, when everybody's really excited. Well, now they're not. Now they're worried because Jesus is a few hours from dying on a cross. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." And Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way." And he made a really important point that I can't say I'd never forgotten, because I forgot it for 48 years, okay? But won't forget it now. And the point is this. He said, look, there are many ways you think to get to God, and there is only one. And Jesus makes it abundantly clear. When we were out in the woods, we were lost. But who was the way? I was the way back. You simply had to follow me. It wasn't your intelligence, wasn't paying attention on any of these things, or woodland skills. Me. I was the way back. And Jesus is your way to God, and your only way to God. And so we follow Jesus. And his way is not always easy. Certainly not what the Palm Sunday were people were looking for. They were looking for political freedom. Following Jesus doesn't mean that. Also life, certainly in the end it does, but it doesn't mean that all the time while we're living in this life. Sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's painful, sometimes it's not comforting at all. And sometimes instead of death, instead of life, we have death. But yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. That's our promise. I think one of the big mistakes we can all make, especially myself, we tend to focus on the wrong thing. We mix up and combine the gift with the giver. We think so much about forgiveness that we forget to think about the one who gave us forgiveness. We think so much about our salvation that we forget about the one who won that salvation by his death on the cross. We think so much about our eternal lives in heaven that we forget about the Savior who's risen from the dead and that we follow to that place. I pray that God continue to give us faith so that we are laser focused on the way and the only way to God, and that is our Savior Jesus Christ, who we follow to the cross this week. In Jesus' name, amen.